Hashtag 2050, your trip to the future. A guest and a talk to imagine the world to come. I'm Rebecca Armstrong. Come aboard, make yourself comfortable. The future starts here and now. Welcome in the first English episode of Hashtag 2050. I'll start with a simple question. Do you know Georgia? At the west of the Republic of Georgia, there is the Black Sea. The country is at the south of Russia and at the north of Turkey, Armenia and Azerbaijan. It's an almost 4 million people country and its capital is Tbilisi. The secession from the Soviet Union took place in 1991, but since then, regular conflicts occur with Russia. In November 2018, a new president has been elected. Salome Zurabichvili is the first woman at this position. As you may know, she's Georgian, of course, but also French. And my first guest, as you can guess, is Georgian. Tamar Djakeli is a young woman, an activist, and together we spoke about her activism, her country, her hopes for 2050. At the heart of her fights, social and environmental justice. Enjoy. Hi, Tamar.
Hello.
You live in Georgia, and you are, among others, a climate activist. Before starting our trip to 2050, could you tell me how you became an activist?
I became an activist at the age of 16, mm-hmm. When I first went to live in the United States, actually. So before I was such a prominent activist in Georgia, I became really active in the US. I did this exchange program in my high school that sent me to the States, and then I actually got my university education in the States, where I actually was always inspired by people who are active in their communities, in their local communities, on the university campus as well. And there I joined some feminist organizations, some LGBT organizations as well, and as well as International Students Organization. And I was involved in all of the university protests and events and all of these cool things that were going on. And in 2016, actually, when there was this election of Trump, that was my final year of university, and I saw firsthand what can happen if democracy becomes weak. And at that time, I actually had a choice to stay in the US and work there or to return back to Georgia. But because I really wanted to help my country, I decided to return to Georgia. And immediately after I returned to Georgia, I started working at some civil society organizations, going to protests. And last year, I actually joined the Georgian Young Greens, which is where my climate activism started and my green activism. But before that, I was always very involved in the LGBT movement and in the women's movement in Georgia.
And how is it to be an activist in Georgia? Because obviously, I don't know your country.
Being an activist in Georgia sometimes can be very difficult. I've never been threatened like that, or I've never been arrested, but I sometimes think that this may get me in trouble in the future if I want to work for the state, for example. When I did this climate strike in the spring, I remember my pictures were taken by the police like that, and I was super afraid that something may happen to me or someone I know, but so far I've had good experiences. But I think the only discouraging thing is that sometimes you are very active and you really care about an issue, but you do not really see it being resolved so mm-hmm. fast, because it takes such a long time to resolve things. And the political system in Georgia is very disappointing. Right now, our formal politics is a huge mess, mm-hmm. Which of course shows that there is a great need for activism. So that's why I keep being an activist. But sometimes it's really easy to become super tired of it all, and even I have moments where I want to give up and maybe just have a normal job and have a normal life. But then, of course, I become motivated once again when I see also people around me who are activists, my friends, and when I see some movements, then I basically decide once again that no, I have to be an activist. No matter what happens, I have to stand up for the things that I care about.
You are a climate activist and also a feminist. What is the situation for women in your country?
Women have legal equality, but when it comes to actually in practice, women are pretty much disadvantaged in every way. Even the most privileged women. I know a lot of women who have money, who have a lot of good education, but still sometimes they're harassed in the workplace, or if they want to have an opinion and talk about what they think, they're told by men that they should shut up, basically, because women should not think about politics. In Georgia, actually, we only have 12% of our parliament members are women, so there is a lot of stereotypes about female politicians. Just last year, a female politician was, threatened. She was told that if she would not leave politics, they would basically distribute some private videos of her. Mm-hmm. So even the most privileged and educated women in practice do not have equality with men. And when it comes to women from the regions or women from lower class backgrounds, of course, their problems are much larger, and they get the least salary out of everyone. There is a lot of domestic violence that happens by their husbands and sometimes fathers as well, and other male relatives. So overall, I would say that there is a lot to do before we actually achieve equality between men and women.
And the fact to have a president, a new president, she's a woman. And, and do you feel a change about perception at least?
She's actually not really a feminist herself. Mm-hmm. So she never actually speaks about women's rights. She says she's a president of women, but she doesn't actually do anything to help women. And also the thing is that now our state is parliamentary, so the president is very much a symbolic power rather than an actual power. And also the thing is that a lot of people just don't like her because she's not very competent and she's not very intelligent either. She also doesn't really know much about politics, even though she was a diplomat. So she doesn't really give a great reputation to women. So I think instead of showing that women also can be good politicians, she shows the opposite. So now some male politicians will even say that, why do you want more women in politics? You have a president who is not very intelligent and she's a female. And if we have some gender quota, we will get more women who are not intelligent in politics. So she kind of does the opposite.
When you had to choose a topic for a conversation about 2050, you choose something very interesting, the connection between social and environmental justice. Could you explain why?
I think there is no environmental justice without social justice, and there is no social justice without environmental justice. At first, I was more of a social rights activist for women, for LGBT people, also for workers. Then I realized that even if I succeeded in my fight for all these social rights, there cannot be any social movements and social equality on a planet that is pretty much being killed and destroyed every day. First of all, we need a healthy environment. And at the same time, to achieve this healthy environment, we need a strong social movement. We need equality between people so that they can all take part in making our planet actually survive this climate crisis. So there is a huge connection between social and environmental justice. And truly, I think that we need to care about both of them equally. And I think in the process of saving our environment, saving our planet from climate crisis, we need to create a better world for everyone. So that actually the planet is a good place to live, not only for the privileged, but also for all groups, for men and women, for the rich and the poor, so that they're not such a such huge gaps between people, so that everyone can afford some kind of at least basic life that will not be, you know, full of misery and work only, so that everyone can enjoy the riches of this planet, basically.
So we talked about what we need right now, but if we jump to 2050, in 30 years, what kind of world do you imagine?
I hope to see a world in which we are all more equal than we are right now, and we are all together in this fight for saving our planet. I think that in 2050 we will still be in the process of fighting. I don't think that we will already have achieved the most ideal Earth possible, but I think that we can succeed by becoming more equal and by having less destruction than we have now. I hope for the world to be more just to everyone, including different groups, especially minority groups and women. I hope that the world will be a better place to live for the people who are right now suffering the most.
You use this word to hope. Do you think that those hopes can be reached?
I think if we act now together, all of us, if we all, you know, do our part, I think these hopes can be reached. Actually, Greta Thunberg says something really nice. You know, she's the one who started climate strikes, and she's a huge role model of mine. And she says that once we start to act, hope is everywhere. Mm-hmm. So first, you don't wait for hope to appear. You start acting, and then when you act, hope comes naturally. And that's what I have seen in my own experience, because at some point I was actually quite sad about the state of the world, even anxious and depressed at times. But then once I started being such an active person, and especially when I became climate activist, did I actually start become more hopeful. And now I think that if I do my part, there is no reason to despair. Actually, there is also this one quote that I like, that when everything is just so messed up, there is no time for despair. You just have to act, and then you have to, you know, give yourself hope.
Regarding feminism, the real stake is intersectionality. I think that almost everyone understands this right now. And I feel that it's the same kind of mindset we need about dealing with social and environmental issues. And do you think that we are on the right tracks to connect all the issues, to go further in the right way?
I think we, at least in the social movements, I'm not sure about our population in general, but in the social movements, in the people who care about activism and politics, I think we have started to discuss intersectionality, and now we realize that if you fight for women's rights, you have to fight for the most disadvantaged women. Like, you have to at the same time be anti-racist and be, I guess you have to fight for maybe the poorest woman, a woman who come from, I don't know, countries in which they are the most threatened. When you fight for someone, you have to view the most underprivileged person and fight for their rights. And yeah, of course, these issues all intersect: class and ethnicity and race and religion and so many other things, all as well as sexuality. They all intersect, and it's really important for activists to keep this in mind so that we do not forget who we are fighting for.
Is ecofeminism an inspiration in
your
activism?
Yes, definitely. I think there is such a huge connection between destruction of our Earth and basically violence against women. Like, these topics are quite connected, because also in most cultures, we view the Earth as female. We view the technology and all the things that we have done to destroy our planet, we view this as more male. So the domination of Earth by human it's quite similar to the domination of women by men.
It's a question of conquer the earth.
Yes,
And the same for women.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because it's about conquering. It's never about equality. It's about conquering. Mm-hmm. And I want to make a wish for 2050. Not about conquering, but about equality.
And do you have example in Georgia of action, intersectionality between social and climate?
Yes, there is this region called Bankisi in which a lot of Muslim people live. So Georgia is majority Christian, but there is this one region with Muslim ethnic minority. And this is also the region where the government wanted to build the hydropower plants. And when the local community protested, the government tried to basically discredit their protests by saying that these people, they're not educated, they don't want Georgia to be a good country, and they don't want our economy to develop. So they actually sent armed forces to force the locals to agree to the building of the hydropower plant. And the intersectional activism example against this was that in Tbilisi, with the activists who care about climate and environment, as well as feminist activists, workers, and basically all the people who consider themselves politically active, we all came together, and some of us protested in Tbilisi against this armed force attacking Bankisi, and some of us went to Bankisi to actually stand there with the locals. And when people from Tbilisi went to Bankisi and the government saw that this is not only an issue for people in Bankisi, but also people from Tbilisi care about this, then the government actually like backed down a little. And we saw that it's really important to be in solidarity with all the minority groups and all the disadvantaged groups. And that's why, like, always, for example, feminist activists go and strike together with the workers when the workers refuse to go to work because of the bad conditions and the low salary. And sometimes it's vice versa as well. The workers support the climate strike, for example. And there are quite many examples of intersectionality actually taking place in Georgian activism.
Mm-hmm. When you think about 2050, can you imagine yourself in this world doing what, where?
So in 2050, I will be 55 years old. Right now I'm 23.
Yeah.
And I hope that I'm in the formal politics of Georgia. I actually always viewed myself, you know, somehow helping Georgia, but I was never sure in what way I can help Georgia the most. And recently I'm thinking that perhaps the best path for someone like me who cares so much about people would be politics. And I want to like give other people example of a good politician who is not corrupt, who actually cares about these issues. So perhaps if we succeed in having a real green party in Georgia, maybe I can be one of its leaders. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can be in the parliament. Maybe, who knows, even more ambitiously, maybe I can be the prime minister and actually, you know, implement the green policies that are so much needed for Georgian environment and for Georgian people. And I hope that whatever I do, I never lose this connection to the environment and to the people. And I always take intersectionality into account, and I always fight for the most disadvantaged.
We meet today in Marseille during the Congress of Young Europeans. And do you have the feeling that the coalition of the young people from many countries is going to help you in your country?
Yeah, definitely. I think international coalitions are super important, especially between green activists. Even today, we recorded a video of everyone at this Congress being in solidarity with our fight to save a forest in Tbilisi in Georgia. And this was, I think, a beginning of a great collaboration between us. Having a network is super important for all activists. And I hope that we can have at least some online actions together in the future and at least share our ideas and experiences and perspectives.
And here,
I want to share with you the song of protest Tamara wrote with her friends to protect the Djigomi forest near Tbilisi. Listen.
I hope that I can have some good news in the next few weeks.
I hope so. Finally, I'd like you to make a wish. You already talked about a wish, but a wish
maybe
to...
a small one.
Yes, for the 2050, for you, for your country, for Europe.
I hope that I continue my fight no matter what, no matter the disappointments and the difficulties. I hope that I succeed in my fight and actually have a position in formal politics in 2050 where I can make the most difference. And I hope that Georgia is way more green than it is right now, that it has actually green policies that are good for the people and for the environment. And I hope that the world is moving towards resolving climate crisis. I hope that more and more people are more mindful of climate crisis and actually work actively to avoid the worst catastrophes. And I hope that no matter what, people continue acting and that they remain hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Tamara.
Thank you.
It is so inspiring to listen to Tamara. She isn't naive, she hopes, and above all, she fights. She is a real change maker. In the description of the episode, you'll find a link to articles about the fight against the hydropower plant in the Panquessi Valley. One in French, published in Lundi Matin. One in English, from the Georgian Young Greens website. And you know what? I have recorded conversations with other young European activists. So stay tuned in the coming month. We will still share a journey to the future, but from Spain, Poland, Italy, Netherlands, Romania, and France too. If you want to react to this conversation, you can leave a voicemail on my website, link in description. You can also reach me on the social networks, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Don't forget to share this episode and to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer. Hashtag 2050 is available almost everywhere. This is it. I can't wait for our next rendezvous. Till then, let's always be curious.